The Gospel reading is from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 14. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so." He answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, immediately it threw the boy into convulsions, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keep this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you both. Do be seated. I'm just going to pray for Angela as she comes to speak. Loving Lord Jesus, would you bless our sister Angela with the strength to share your word with us this morning? We pray that we would have open ears and open hearts to hear from you through her. Thank you for the words that you've given her, and thank you for the way that your words are lived out through her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gemma, for your kind words and prayers. So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. So good to be looking around. I just want to feast my eyes on you this morning. There you all are. Dear brothers and sisters, many of you walk this walk with me. 40 years since I was saved in this church, actually. I lived 5 years close by and never came in. But God had his moment when he did know that it was my destiny time for salvation. And so I have so many memories in this church. And anyway, we'll come back to that a bit later. So this morning, help me overcome my unbelief. Continuing with our journey through Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Reinhard Bonnke, the late German evangelist who has brought millions of Africans to faith in Christ, once said, "Man needs God, but God needs man, because when the two come together for God's purposes, anything becomes possible." It's a partnership between heaven and earth, set up when God's people align with the purposes of God. Prayer, prayed in faith, has the power to thwart the schemes of the enemy, pull down every stronghold, blow open every door, and for God's blessings to flow without interruption. It only needs two or more people praying together in unity to release this dunamis power. Dunamis meaning miraculous, abundant in the Greek. And this power multiplies exponentially. In our story from Mark, we see that Jesus has just come down from the mountaintop, where he has received a special anointing from God. The transfiguration, where he was in dazzling white array in front of his favorite disciples, Peter and John. And there they saw him speak to Moses and Elijah, a special moment for them. Well, that was last week, and now we hear he's come down from the mountain, and as he and his two special ones walk in, they see a crowd in the village, and there's a commotion, and there's the teachers of the law. There's a lot going on. What on earth is this? He's walked straight into a very difficult situation in which his disciples have failed to heal a young boy who was suffering from epilepsy. Oh, Jesus is exasperated by their failure and wonders if they're ever going to learn from him how to do these things. But the boy's father has continued to wait patiently in the hope that Jesus might come. And now he is rewarded. This is his moment. As he brings his son to Jesus, the boy has a seizure right in front of them with that strong spiritual force that is able to throw him to the ground with foaming mouth, gnashing teeth, rigid body. The father is convinced that this spirit is trying to kill his son and pleads with Jesus, "If you can do anything to take pity on us, help us." But there are no ifs with Jesus. Jesus immediately challenges him with his famous reply, "Everything is possible for him who believes." To which the father replies, "I do believe. Help me with my unbelief, my doubts." Seeing that a crowd was forming fast, Jesus gives the wicked spirit its marching orders. "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, out of him and stay out." Screaming and with much thrashing about, the spirit left the boy, looking so pale and corpse-like that they all thought he was dead, until Jesus takes him by the hand and helps him to his feet, and the boy stands up. After arriving back home, his disciples cornered Jesus and asked why they couldn't drive the spirit out. And he answered, "There's no way to get rid of this kind of demon except through prayer and fasting." Fasting is added by many manuscripts, that is a key thing. To the father of the boy, Jesus was stating the conditions of a miracle. To the one who believes, all things are possible. It was as if he said, "The cure of your boy depends not on me, but on you." To approach anything in the spirit of hopelessness is to make it hopeless. To approach it in the spirit of faith is to make it a possibility. So what are our expectations from God today? Have we faith to believe that Jesus can heal our body of any illness or bring peace and reconciliation into any dark area where we despair of finding a solution? The boy's father was able to believe that Jesus could heal his son, but he knew that he didn't understand everything. Hence that phrase that has been repeated down the generations, "Help me overcome my unbelief." From the moment we get up in the morning, we start to exercise faith in the world around us, don't we? That water will come out of the tap. Electricity will charge our electronic devices. The money in our bank account can be withdrawn through a telling machine. The telephone will connect us anywhere in the world that we want to speak. I've mentioned before, forgive me for one of the old stories, but how one of my most trusting moments was when I put my faith in a young paragliding instructor in New Zealand who accompanied me on a tandem paragliding descent from a mountain. "Run to the edge of the cliff," he commanded, "and jump off." I dutifully ran forward and was just about to take the plunge when he yelled, "Stop!" Oh, I froze instantly and had to return to our starting position while we waited for a stronger wind to blow. On the second attempt, I ran forward again, and this time there was no stopping me. Fortunately, the wind picked up our canopy, and we glided down like the birds do on the thermals. What an experience it was, and I might have missed it if I hadn't been prepared to exercise a little faith. And I see my friend Frances is sitting there remembering that. She went on the paragliding and did a loop-the-loop and all kinds of extras. But that was enough for me. We've had some adventures, haven't we, Frances? Are you prepared to put your faith in God and expect him to answer your prayer in an awesome way? My story of faith began when I came to St. Mary's 40 years ago. Somebody reminded me, they told me this morning, Shirley, that she's been here 40 years. So we said it was our Ruby today. I was certainly looking for the meaning and purpose of my life that seemed flat and joyless, even though I had achieved what most people would be satisfied with, a lovely family, husband, home, job. But I was spiritually empty. The turning point came when I started to attend, somewhat reluctantly, a house group nearby where they studied the Bible fortnightly. I really couldn't spare the time in my busy life, I thought, but I was somehow drawn to join this group of about 10 people, mostly from St. Mary's. They were great believers in the power of prayer. And I was intrigued when the answers came to their requests for even small things, like the job interview someone was desperate for, or the healing of grandma's neuralgia. My understanding of who God was at that time was still a head concept of someone, if he existed, who must have far greater things to be concerned with than such relatively small matters. So I was amazed when the prayers were answered. So much so that I thought I would give it a go. And here I am today testifying to the truth that if you believe, all things are possible. Now this truth had finally dropped from my head into my heart. Some say that's the longest journey in the world, don't they? I had achieved academic success, But I had discovered, as it says in 1 Corinthians verse 25 this morning, the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. The good news is that when Jesus allowed his body to be broken on the cross at Calvary, the ancient barrier between heaven and earth was removed. Today, all the riches and resources of God are available to the person who will take them by faith through prayer. We can come boldly into the presence of God with a pure conscience and a heart full of faith, knowing that God has already destroyed everything that stands between him and us by the blood of Christ. I have seen countless answers to prayers over my years serving here at St. Mary's. Prayer is influential in heaven. We have a prayer team that is always willing to pray for you. Check out the latest weekly email to see the opportunities that are on offer. New things are starting. I believe that God wants to bless you today, each one of you. Whatever difficulty you may have, be it poor health, a health issue, debt, need of forgiveness, noisy neighbors, loneliness, have faith in God. I can speak over you power, blessing, and healing, but you must believe it. Speak it out, and don't doubt it in your heart. Then you will have power from God, and God will begin to work with your issue. Do you have mountains in your life? Command them to go in the name of Jesus. Speak with faith and authority which God gives you. Have faith in God. He's in the business of moving mountains. But you must declare and actually believe with no doubts that in the name of Jesus, they shall be moved. As many of you know, this is my last opportunity to speak to you like this. My two children have been here with me this weekend, and my daughter Laura is there, here now. And I'm moving to Bournemouth to be near them. God has amazingly smoothed my path to do this. I found a buyer for my house easily. I've found a house to buy within the last month or so, and that's all going through smoothly. So in 2 weeks' time, I'll be there. And I'm so sad to be leaving you all in body, but I shall remain with you in spirit. I've had such an outpouring of love from you all these past few weeks. As you've realized, my time is drawing to an end. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You're so dear to me, all of you. We've shared so much along the way, haven't we? And there are new ones here today who've come specially to cheer me on. I see Michael is there from our team, student ministry team. Michael's leading it, doing a great job. Thank you, Michael, for coming this morning. Thank you, Jane. Jane's there, my gardening help. She's more than a help. She's a real friend. Thank you, Jane, for all the things along the way, the encouragements. And now my spring garden is springing into life. Even the magnolia tree is about to pop out its flowers. So God is good in opening my eyes to the spring garden as I leave it. So there's dear Sonia, who stood with me the day I had my fall last July, which was a bit of a sign that I should go to where I can be looked after if I need it, with my children. And I do believe there's Sylvia there. My word, Sylvia, you're a dear friend from the past. Thank you for coming. And I'm sure I might see Roscoe there. Is that Roscoe? Oh, he's a student friend from the ministry, and he leads Fusion. Well, forgive me if I don't pick you all out. There's Juliet, who's walked along the path, going to be a vicar herself one of these days. Oh, you're all so dear to me. But I mustn't labour this because we have to move on. 9 o'clock, we've got to get on. But thank you all for your good wishes and love expressed to me as I leave. It's only farewell. A biento. I shall see you again as I return to Bristol, this great city that I love. Let us enjoy the moment, but look forward to the eternal hope where we shall meet again forever, remembering that God has rent the heavens. Through prayer we can bring heaven to earth. Everything is possible for him who believes. So a final prayer, little prayer. Dear Father in heaven, may your will be done in each of our lives as we submit them to you. Let truth drop into each heart that is seeking it. Let anything that hinders our journey of faith be removed, and give us the humility to seek our salvation in the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Round of applause. Just wait a minute.